when you brought your tithes and offerings to the temple, you were saying, this is where my treasure is. This is where my heart is. God, I look to you to secure my needs. God, I look to you to give me significance in life. God, I look to you to be my all-satisfying joy. God, I give you my whole heart.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you're joining us today in our series in Malachi. Now, Pastor Philip, today we're talking about loot, bread, currency, capital, cheese, the cheddar. We're talking about money, and Malachi has a lot to say about this, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. So, you know, we're in this section where God is talking to the people of Israel, and he's saying, you're robbing me. You're not giving me what I deserve. And he's talking about money so much because money is a matter of our hearts. As Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, there's an intimate connection between our money and the things that we, our assets, the way we steward the lives that we've been given, and our hearts, that they're intimately connected. And the reason God talks about money so much is because he wants our hearts, all of us. And because money can become a kind of idol that we live for. We look to it for significance and security and satisfaction. And we think, if I just have enough money, then all those things will happen in my life. And all along, God is the one who satisfies. He's the one who gives us significance and security. And so he wants us to look to him, not our money, as the source of our life and our happiness. He wants our whole heart. And so we're going to learn today about why God cares so much about our hearts and why he talks so much about money.
So important. Let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we examine the disease behind stinginess and greed. This is part two of the sermon, Robbing God. Now, our text today is Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12.
There's a fascinating passage in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14, where King David is fundraising, collecting donations for the future temple that his son Solomon will build. And all the people are giving lavishly to the temple fund. They're giving gold and silver and precious gems to the Lord. And then David prays a prayer of dedication over all of it. And this is what he says. Who are we? And what are my people that we should give these things to you? For all things come from you, and we have only given you that which is from your own hand. You see what he's saying? He's saying, everything we just gave you is actually yours to begin with. It's all yours. Everything is yours. It's all from your hand. It belongs to you. And so all these gifts we just gave to you, we're just giving you what you gave us first. It still belongs to you. It's kind of an ironic thing that we're doing. How do you give to God when he has everything? And as much what we're getting at here, friends, is the biblical principle that God actually owns everything. All of our wealth, all of our money, all of our stuff. And as much as our wealth feels like it belongs to us, you know, it does, doesn't it? It feels like it belongs to you. You worked for it. You earned it. You saved it. You invested it. The reality is you only have that because of what God's given you. He gave you breath in your lungs. He gave you strength in your bones. He gave you talent in your persona. He gave you ingenuity in your mind. He gave you opportunity that you stepped into. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights. All the wealth that we have, friends, is ultimately from his gracious hand. It all belongs to him. And notice that even after God gives us these gifts of wealth, David says it still belongs to God. In other words, he entrusted wealth into your hands, and yet he didn't relinquish ownership of it. You notice this? He entrusted wealth into your hands, but he didn't let go of his ownership of it, which means you're a steward, not an owner. It means you're an asset manager. You're not the investor. It means you're the broker and he's the client. And it's the job of a steward, an asset manager, a broker, to manage the wealth that's been entrusted into your care, to manage that according to the wishes and directives of the owner. If you look, if you're an asset manager downtown, and all of a sudden people give you wealth to manage, and all of a sudden you start using that money like it's your own and spending it on yourself, what do we call that? That's fraud. That's embezzlement. It's robbery. And don't you see, that's exactly what God is saying here. He's accusing his people. He's saying, I entrusted my wealth into your hands as a stewardship, and you are to manage it according to my wishes and directives. And I made those abundantly clear, that the wealth I gave to you is for the needs and the enjoyment of your family, yes, but it is also for the strengthening of the society. It is for the flourishing of my city. It is for the provision of the priesthood. It is for the care of the poor. It is for the mending of the tattered. It is for the healing of the broken. It is for the glory of my name to be revealed and displayed before all the nations. You see, Israel's economy was oriented not around individual wealth generation, but around worship and service and peace and justice. Israel was to be a light to the Gentiles, to the nations. This is what shalom looks like. This is what peace on earth and goodwill toward men looks like. Here it is where the kingdom comes and God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. It is here that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. God says, I entrusted my wealth into your hands with clear directions of how you are to invest it for my glory and for your human flourishing. But you decided to keep it for yourselves. You decided to make it all about your own agenda. And you showed up to the temple with just a fraction of what I asked for. And friends, stinginess robs God of glory and us of grace. Stinginess robs God of glory and us of grace. Friends, when we gorge ourselves on our wealth and make it all about us, we're robbing God of glory, we're robbing our neighbors of good, we're robbing ourselves of grace. Because instead of the joy of partnering with God in the flourishing and mending of this world, we cave in upon ourselves and make it all about me, mine, mine. It's a little Gollum in there, if you heard it. In robbing God, friends, it turns out we're actually robbing ourselves. You see that? We're the ones missing out. So those are the symptoms, but there's a deeper disease. Their stinginess before God is actually symptomatic of an underlying problem, an underlying condition, a disease. Go back to verse 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, you are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes. You've not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how will we return? See the disease of their stinginess, the disease underneath their stinginess is that they've turned aside from the Lord, haven't they? That their hearts have wandered, their devotion has drifted, their love has grown cold. What they were doing with their money was symptomatic of a deeper disease. They were wandering away from the Lord. And that's the whole point of the tithes and offerings in the temple. Don't you see that? When you brought your tithes and offerings to the temple, you were saying, this is where my treasure is. This is where my heart is. God, I look to you to secure my needs. God, I look to you to give me significance in life. God, I look to you to be my all-satisfying joy. God, I give you my whole heart. You're my true treasure. And so I put my earthly treasures in your temple because I've got a heavenly treasure that is more valuable than anything I just let go of. And you're the one I'm living for. That's what you were saying. But they weren't doing that. They weren't bringing all their tithes and offerings into the Lord's temple. What's the implication? If they're not bringing their tithes and offerings into the Lord's temple, it must be in another temple. It must be in another temple. And that might be a literal temple. Remember, they'd married wives outside of the covenant that were still worshiping foreign gods. Maybe some of their household wealth was actually in a foreign god's temple, right? But maybe their treasure wasn't in a deity's temple. Maybe it was in their own temple. Maybe their own houses were their temple, where they put their treasure into building a dream home for themselves, and they robbed God's temple to make it happen. Maybe comfort was their temple, and they put their treasure into ease and luxury and a bespoke lifestyle, and they robbed God's temple to keep up with the Joneses. Maybe savings was their temple. Maybe they put their treasure into a nest egg to protect them from all the unknowns, and they robbed God's temple to secure themselves. See, they were attending God's temple, but they were worshiping in another temple. You see that? Their treasure was in another temple. It was a temple to themselves. They were living for themselves. They were serving themselves. They were worshiping themselves. And Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wherever you put your treasure, that's where you're worshiping. That's what you're living for. And the reason their treasure wasn't in the Lord's temple is because their hearts weren't there either. You see that? Friends, our money always shows us our hearts. Our money always shows us our hearts because our hearts and our treasure are intertwined. They're intertwined. Our hearts and our treasure are intertwined. Where you invest your treasure reveals the worship of your heart. Our bank statements show us what we're actually living for. Not what we say we're living for, what we're actually living for. Friends, if I find it hard to donate to God's work, but I don't find it difficult to go buy some new clothes, do you realize that's showing me what's going on in my heart? That maybe I value the image, my own image, more than the significance that God alone can provide. If I find it difficult to give to the poor, but I'm quick to book tickets on my next travel expedition, vacation, it's showing me my heart. You see that? I may be finding satisfaction not in God, but in all the adventures that this world can provide. If I struggle to be generous toward others, but I find it really easy to save and invest for myself, that shows me my heart. That maybe I'm finding security in my assets rather than my God. As Jesus says in Mark chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, that's the disease underneath all the symptoms.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're so glad you're joining us today as we dig deeper into this really important topic regarding money, greed, and generosity. Okay, Pastor Philip, you got us out here in the deep end of the pool. We got to talk about money, but you've also given us a good challenge. Where my treasure is, there my heart is also. And so that means I have to put that treasure in the right place. Yeah, we need some help here.
How do we do that? How do I grow in this journey of putting my treasure now in God?
Yeah. I think the first thing is recognizing that our hearts are conflicted. That it's, I think as long as we live in this world, we're going to be constantly pulled between treasuring God the way he ought to be treasured and deserves to be treasured and demands to be treasured, and the reality that our hearts are conflicted and we find ourselves way too much at home in this world. Our stuff means too much to us. Our careers mean too much. The money we make means too much to our hearts and souls. In other words, this treasuring of our hearts is a thing that's going to take us a long time. It's going to probably take a lifetime to get figured out. And so the work becomes in my discipleship before God is, how do I increasingly pay attention to my heart? What am I really treasuring? And then how do I move the levers a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's where giving is such a powerful tool, because in giving, I'm starting to steer my heart. I'm fighting to put my treasure in the right things. And so when God says, okay, now give, be generous, he's asking for our hearts. He wants to steer us to treasure him in the right ways. And so I think the first thing is to recognize I am conflicted. My treasure is not sorted out correctly. I don't give God what he fully deserves. He deserves everything. And so how do I start pulling the right levers to do that? And I think that's where giving happens. It's like, these are the ways I can pull the levers and start steering my heart in treasuring God the way he deserves. And so that's the first thing that has to happen is I've got to actually want this. I've got to want it enough that I'm willing to sacrifice and give until it's meaningful so that it starts stirring my heart in the right direction.
That's a wonderful image that you provide as we steer, as you keep calling it, because in this life, we're kind of in this current, and sometimes it moves kind of slowly. We can't even assess that we're drifting and drifting away. We have to be intentional about navigating our hearts back towards that. So our listeners are saying, I go to church and I give, and I really can feel that I'm growing in my relationship with God, and I give money through my church. Is there something else I should be doing, though? I mean, I'm growing, but is there something else I should be doing? What's the next step for me?
Yeah, I think if you can think of it kind of like a generosity ladder. You know, it's sort of the bottom rung is like initial giving. So if you're not giving at all, the first step would be to take that very first action of obedience and actually give something. Doesn't have to be huge, but to be deliberate and say, you know what, I'm going to obey and I'm going to give. It may be small, it may be incrementally just a small part of it, but I'm going to start giving a portion of what God has given me back to him in worship.
Okay.
And so that's like an initial giver, right? And then you have people who are more intentional givers. In other words, you may not be able to give to like a standard of a tithe or 10% or something, but you can give intentionally. You can say, you know what, I'm going to give a certain percentage every paycheck to the Lord's work. And I can't go to full 10% right now, but I can do 2%. And when I get my raise at the end of the year and I get that little cost of living bump, I'm going to add to that. And so I'm going to go from 2 to 4, and from 4 to 6, or 6 to 8, and 8 to 10, or whatever, right? Because, here's the reality. Most of us are really cash strapped and we don't have as much wiggle room as we'd like. And so the point is, though, I'm moving in obedience and I'm trying to get to the point where I'm doing what God has called me to do. And I have a deliberate plan and I'm working that plan and I'm being intentional, right, about that. And so that would be another rung on the ladder. A third rung would be to be a faithful giver. And this would be, I'm doing what the Bible asks. I'm giving 10% of what God has given me back to the Lord in worship toward his work and mission in the world. And I'm joyously able to do that, right? I'm faithful. So that's a third rung. A fourth rung on the ladder might be missional giving. So not only am I being faithful to do what the bare minimum of what the Bible says, but now I'm saying, you know what? I'm so excited about the mission of God in the world. I can't just give 10. I want to give beyond that. I want to give more than that. I want to invest deliberately, strategically, sacrificially in the work of God in the world. I'm going to do that. And then maybe the last rung we might call legacy giving. And that's where I say, you know what? I'm going to make radical generosity a major part of my life, of my story, and my estate. Mm-hmm. I want my life to be about the kingdom of God, and I want generosity to be a radical part of who I am. I'm going to give above and beyond and in ways that are extraordinary. And we all know stories of people who have done that. And it's powerful. So I think when you realize there's a whole spectrum of what obedience looks like, and you want to be climbing this ladder and moving toward the kind of radical generosity that God's talking about, that's inspiring to me.
Amen. Yeah. This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. You talked about, I love the generosity ladder, by the way, but you talked about stories you had shared. I wonder if you'd share with our listeners. There was a time when the issue of giving for you and Krista. Do you remember the story that you shared regarding that?
Yeah. I shared that a while back with you. But this is when Krista and I, when we were going to seminary, we didn't have any money. Mm-hmm. We were paying school bills, and we were both students at Dallas Theological Seminary, and we were just paying money out the door. We just were barely getting by. And I had deceived myself. I had thought, you know what? I can't give to church right now, because I'm giving to school, and that's sort of like a nonprofit. And so that, you know, and so I had fooled myself into thinking that was giving to God and to his work, even though I was getting a degree in exchange for those tuition dollars. And the Lord convicted me of that. And Krista and I, we sat down and we said, okay, what does the Bible say about giving? Give 10%. And what are we going to say for the rest of our lives in ministry? If someone asks us, what's God's standard for giving? 10%. Okay. Why aren't we doing it? Like, if we believe God, why aren't we doing it? And so we sat down and deliberately before the Lord said, we're going to do it. And we couldn't make the math work. Like, we were going to be cash flow negative to make this work, but we knew it was what the Lord called us to. And here's what's amazing, Pastor Larry.
Go on.
That next fall is when a bunch of scholarships showed up. Mm-hmm. He provided in ways we couldn't imagine. And I learned something through that. We learned something through that. That when we're faithful to do what God has commanded, God is always faithful to take care of us. Hmm. And I've just never turned back. You learn that. Like, you can't outgive God. And so what a joy to move out in obedience and faith and to partner with God. I think that's inspiring. And for each of our listeners, that's what I would say to you. Just take a next step. Take God at his word. Start obeying and see what happens.
Wow. What a wonderful testimony. And I hope our listeners are encouraged by that true story in your life. If we're motivated to earn our place in the kingdom, we really never will know if we're giving or serving enough. That's why I'm so thankful for Pastor Erwin Lutzer's book, How You Can Be Sure You Will Spend Eternity with God. Pastor Lutzer addresses the questions that linger in the quiet moments. Questions like, can I lose my salvation if I commit a serious sin? Will my good deeds help me? Or what is my actual role in salvation? By setting the big questions of our eternal security, you're freed to live and to give with a heart full of joy instead of worry. It's straight gospel truth designed to help you stop running on a religious treadmill and start resting in the finished work of Jesus. This book imparts deep scriptural truth and clear answers for the skeptic and the longtime believer alike. Moody Church Media really exists to provide gospel resources so countless listeners, you can get insightful, biblical teaching right into your hands. And when you give to support this program, this is our way of saying thanks. We'll send you How You Can Be Sure You Will Spend Eternity with God for a donation of any amount. Now, to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media. That's 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Now, next time, we'll look at the ultimate example of giving generously. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime.
Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.